showing very clearly that the Israelis no longer care about, even pretending to balance this notion of being a Jewish state and a democracy. You know, I think that was never the case. Now it's clear that they're not even interested in pretending anymore. And in fact, the initiator and sponsor of this legislation said after its passage, "We are passing this bill to make sure that no one has any doubt or even any thoughts about Israel being a state of all its citizens." So it's very clearly aimed at enshrining inequality, enshrining apartheid in a constitutional way within Israeli law.
Rebecca Vilcomerson, if you can respond to this, what's being called the nation-state law that's been passed.
Yeah, I mean, I think what Yusuf said is exactly right. I think I found it shocking but not surprising, because I think any time you have a set of, again, foundational law, this is a basic law, so it's sort of the equivalent of a constitutional bill that will then have an impact on any future laws. And it basically obligates the state to treat its non-Jewish citizens unequally. And that's 20% of the overall Israeli population. So by Israel enshrining racism and discrimination and apartheid into its basic law, that's pretty shocking. At the same time, not that surprising because of the ongoing policies that Israel has been pursuing for so many decades.
And the response of the Jewish community?
Well, here in the United States, I think it's been interesting because there's much more unanimity than there usually is against this bill. Everyone from J Street to the American Jewish Committee to the Reform and Conservative movements, which together represent half of American Jewry, even some right-wing organizations like the ADL have had some limited concerns about the bill. And I think it's a reflection of, Peter Beinart sort of had this seminal essay that he wrote in 2010, which talked about the ways that the Jewish Israeli population was moving to the right and the American Jewish population is staying sort of liberal and progressive, and there's a split that's happening, and I think we're seeing the fruition of that, and people are just horrified by this sort of extreme right-wing agenda that I think the Netanyahu government is feeling empowered by the Trump administration to enact fully.
You wrote a piece in the Independent, about how 40 Jewish groups from 15 different countries have signed this joint statement condemning attempts to stifle criticism with false accusations, you say, of anti-Semitism.
Right. This was a pretty historic moment. We had 40 organizations from around the world, Jewish and Israeli organizations, and we felt like it was very important because there's so many efforts right now worldwide, lots of different specific strategies and tactics, but worldwide. Trying to legislate definitions of anti-Semitism that sometimes include chilling language at the very minimum, and sometimes actually legislate that forms of anti-Zionism or certain critiques of Israel would be defined as anti-Semitic. And this has resulted in bank accounts being shut down in Germany and in the UK, people being prosecuted in France. Here in the United States, there's something called the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act, which would make it potentially, extremely difficult for people to speak out politically against Israeli human rights violations. So we felt it was very important to lend a Jewish voice against that and to say that BDS is a legitimate tactic to be using in this particular moment.
That's what you're talking about. Boycott, divestment, sanctions, yes. Yusuf Mani, what happens from here after this law is passed and also in Gaza?
And listen to our past interviews.
Well, I think there's great concern for what may happen in Gaza in the coming months. Of course, as we know, in the major Israeli bombardments of Gaza in 2008, 2009, and in the fall of 2012 and the summer of 2014, all of them preceded Israeli elections by a matter of months. And we are, expecting Israeli elections in 2019. And given the recent behavior of the ruling coalition with the passage of all kinds of right-wing legislation aimed at rallying the support of its base, I would not be surprised if they were to attempt another sort of massive operation against the Palestinian population in Gaza ahead of elections once again. So that's something that I would definitely keep my eye on.
Yusuf Munir, we have to leave it there for now. U.S. Campaign for Palestinian Rights and Rebecca Vilcomerson, Jewish Voice for Peace. That does it for our show. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO listener members and support from Oregon Symphony, located at 909 Southwest Washington Street in downtown Portland. Presenting Gary Trudeau, political cartoonist and creator of Doonesbury Comics, sharing from his latest book, Sad, Doonesbury in the Time of Trump. Tuesday, October 16th at 7:30 p.m. Tickets and more information available by phone at 503-228-1353 or online at orsymphony.org. orsymphony.org.
KBOO has a tent set up at the Occupy ICE encampment in southwest Portland, where we are broadcasting and webcasting live reports from the camp.
Protesters have created a community of resistance since June 17th to protest the deportation and separation of families by the U.S.
Department of Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE.
Check our website for a schedule of upcoming broadcasts and listen to our past interviews at kboo.fm/OccupyICE.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is also available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Board meetings will be conducted at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The KBOO Board of Directors meets the fourth Monday of the month, starting at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held.
Ready. Can you hear me? Okay. Turn the music down. So what's happening? Are we on? Good morning. You are listening. You are continuing to listening to KBOO, your community radio station, on Monday, July 23rd. And this is More Talk Radio. I am Cecil Prescott, and we greet you on this Monday morning, which here in the Pacific Northwest is promised to be the beginning of yet another hot and week. So I hope you're staying coal and for fine places this week where you might remain cool. If you are people who have difficulty finding places, there are cooling centers all around which will give you the opportunity to find a place to remain cool. So I hope that all of us take care of ourselves during the heat, and that we watch out for one another and take care of each other. So how do we stay cool, not only in the heat, but also in our lives? So much, as we heard on Democracy Now, in terms of discussion, heated political debate and heated discussion that challenge all of us to seek ways in which we have political conversations or not, and whether or not civil debate is possible. That's a question that we would like for you to share with us about how you remain cool and during the hot weather, but also how do you remain cool during political discussions. If you have ideas, suggestions on either of those, give us a call here, and we will welcome your insights and about these things. Part of the challenge here for me is that my computer is freezing up in front of me, and all sorts of weird things are happening on the radio station right now. So forgive us for coming on late. There's a little delay with those of you who were able to listen to Democracy Now. So we aired the wrong program earlier. We were a week behind, but then we aired the new one, the current one. So that's why we More Talk Radio is on a little bit later than normal. And also there's feedback on my earphones, so I cannot hear, and things are pretty strange right now. So as we work on these things, we ask you to help us, have patience with us. How important it is, the topic is staying cool, and maybe the whoever's in charge of these things, the radio gods or whatever, is calling me to remain cool and calm as I introduce this topic for this morning conversation. So what I would like to ask is for you to give us a call and join us and share your thoughts on several things. One, how do you remain cool? Do you have ideas of staying cool, your body during these hot weathers? Maybe it'd be interesting to hear how suggestions for you that you have for other people. And then also in terms of political discussion that heats up, how do you remain cool? And Celeste has a nice cool is that yogurt there you have with you?
Yeah.
Or
yes.
that's so welcome. I think that's helpful for you to remain cool.
You know, I'm looking at cool more of a metaphorical thing.
Yeah.
How am I staying cool? And I was laughing because when I was coming in, K-Boo was the only thing I was listening to. I limit my diet of news and what have you. I broke the rule this morning by listening to Democracy Now! Early. You know, usually I turn it in about 7:30 or so, so I don't get too much of a dose of bad news or, you know, frustration or irritation. And I pump myself full of positive music and positive programming, and I try to hang out with positive folks or such. And I confess, I spend lately a lot more time by myself in meditation and prayer, trying to make sure I stay anchored, because I've been going through, as you know, some incredibly stressful storms.
Certainly.
And so I think more in terms of metaphorical cool, but I also do a lot more service for folks because I'm planting that positivity both for myself and for other people in these tumultuous times. You know, if you're listening to our news, you're hearing frustrations boiling over at the political, our political shenanigans. You're wondering how much of the economic news you can believe. You try to be hopeful that the news of our economic upsurge is going to have a positive effect on you and your family and our communities. You're not sure. Mm-hmm. And you hopefully are trying to resist all of the propaganda that is feeding you xenophobic and misogynistic and misanthropic energy. You know, you're trying to resist that. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at the metaphorical coup, you know.
Well, that's helpful. The suggestions you offered in terms of how mm-hmm. how you, I don't know if calm is the right word, but in terms of center yourself
very much.
It's very, very helpful.
And I stopped worrying about it being so hot. I was talking to someone at a store yesterday, and she was talking about how hot it was. And I said, yes, I'm enjoying every moment of it and storing it up for January. You know, what is that? There's a buzz phrase you hear now. What is it? Mindfulness.
Right.
You know, and I sit here and I luxuriate in a moment of just, okay, I'm sweating. It's hot. Oh, I can store this up as a battery. And I've pretty much been doing that since I was a kid, but I store these memories up so I can make it through. What is it? November, December, January, February here in Oregon.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you have those moments when you're walking and your feet are wet and your head is wet and your butt is wet and everything's wet and even your cell phone in the innermost parts of your clothing or bag is wet and you remember how hot you were in July and August, and it works for me.
Yeah, that's so helpful. And so this is a little note to our engineer, is that our headphones aren't working. We we have feedback, and we are unable to listen to the people who are calling us. So as we work on that, stay calm and remain on the phone as we work out the difficulties, and we will get to your phone calls really soon. One thing that I notice generally, people seem to be so worried,
mm-hmm.
and maybe it's just because we're living in difficult times
mm-hmm.
That it's people seem to be on edge a lot. And
well, that's a deliberate. That's a deliberate result of believing everything you hear on the media. You know, I don't want people to think that I buy into what this whole idea of fake news, because that is a misnomer. It's misnamed on purpose to get you confused and to kind of discourage you being critical in assessing your diet of media, you know, and I guess being trained in media and being trained in ways that you're supposed to be objective and how to analyze your information. I recognize that there is true news to offer what would I call it? Well, to oppose the statement that Trump is giving us. There's news and there's propaganda. Okay. Yeah. So when he says fake news, that's kind of to fake you out like an animal farm.
Yeah. I think it's important for me at least, mm-hmm. not even to use terms such as that.
Right.
So
I don't even buy into that.
And so even the idea, I like what you said, there's news, there's mm-hmm. propaganda, and mm-hmm. then there's lies.
Yes, and just outright lies.
So I think, you know, part of the resistance is resisting falling into mm-hmm. those type of things.
And how our information is being polarized and contaminated, really. So...
we still have a problem. We thought we were solved for a second.
Okay, so you're going to have to carry on. I'm going to see if I can get the headphones back up.
Okay, so I would like if we're able to work through the challenges we face is to remind you that coming up on KBOO is at 9 is the OMO Variety Hour. They boil down to the roots of the great issues of our time. At 10, it's Locus Focus. Barbara Bernstein talks to author of Fallout, Disaster, Lies, and the Legacy of Nuclear Age. And at 11, Making Contact investigates the president's travel and refugee ban, including ways to fight it. And at 11:30, Voices for the Animals talk to members of the SAVE movement who are bearing witness to farm animals on their way to the slaughterhouse. All these are welcome and presented to you by your community radio station, KBOO. And if you'd like to become a member, go to kboo.fm and click donate.
Okay.
John. Are we ready? We are ready, maybe.
Yeah, I think so. So you can hear?
I have the 5-second delay or the 20-second delay is still on my headphones. Are you current?
Well, no, I'm not current. I'm still having the 5-second delay because I can hear you talking about upcoming program. Well, okay.
We are.
Well, you know what? I want to say this.
Okay.
One of the things for all of our listeners is take a chuckle, you know, have a chuckle break, because, this is kind of funny. You know, don't get me wrong, I don't like Monday Gremlins at all, but it's just comedy of errors. I mean, I feel like I'm in a Lucy show,
right.
You know, Lucy show or something skit, you know, so it's, I'm just going to make it work.
We're going to make it work. And it's sort of like the old adage, how many people does it take to change a light bulb?
Change it into what?
I
flip it. It's how many people does it take to change a light bulb? Well, that depends on what you want to change it into.
Ooh.
You want to change it into gold? Well, I don't even know what the number is.
Uh-huh.
You want to just change the light bulb into a new light bulb, but, you know, it takes one.
Right.
At least, I hope.
Mm-hmm. So let's continue our conversation and ask you, maybe you may contact us the old-fashioned way. Well, it's only relatively old-fashioned in terms of not the telephone, but maybe by hitting us up on our email, and we can respond to those questions if we can get our laptops working here this morning. So go to moretalkradio@gmail.com, and that might be a way in which we can at least read your questions or comments and share them with the listeners on the radio station. And that might be a way in which we can begin a conversation. One thing that I think it might be interesting to continue our discussion is for you to give us some insight into how might we encourage meaningful conversation. I read an article just recently in the Washington Post, and it was talking about a community and somewhere in the South, and a church community, evangelical church, a white evangelical church. And what was so interesting for me was the contrast between their worldview and certainly my worldview, but also the contrast within for the religious community of contrasting worldviews in how we either encounter the world and how we respond to it. So this community was a white rural evangelical community, and their sense of how the world is operating and their commitment to the president, who in normal times one would think would be the type of person that that community would not warm up to. The president is a lifelong New Yorker, three-time married, a proud abuser of women, uses rough language, who proudly attack those who are the least powerful, who refuses to welcome immigrants and refugees, and in just many ways by his life is the opposite of what one would traditionally think of as a moral religious lifestyle. But yet within the white evangelical community there is an allegiance that's very, very high, that's even higher than others, yet their worldview is so radically different than their neighbors, who, for the most part, are black and are as religious. But the contrast is striking. What does that mean? It means, in part, that we have to find ways in which to communicate with one another. Celeste, do you? You enjoy communicating and talking to people who are different. And what is it like for you internally when you encounter someone who is just, I don't know.
Oppositional.
Who's rude, maybe. there's one thing for me, at least, to have a conversation with someone who I disagree with, you know, name the topic, you know, you know, favorite color or something like that. But someone who's just mean-spirited and hostile.
Well, you know, you have to really train yourself to resist that temptation to deal it back in kind. And, you know, the catchphrase nowadays is, who hurt you? You know, which is kind of dismissive implies that the person is not a reasonable person, but they are reactive and they're carrying a burden of pain and being mistreated, etc. Mm. And while that may have some truth to it, it's not an opener it's not designed to open a person's mind. It's designed to kind of shut them down.
That's true.
And I have to kind of resist it because when I hear it, I want to ask a person who is mean-spirited, are you this way in reaction to some kind of being, some way of being mistreated?
Yeah.
You know, because it's just such an acidic environment. You know, you're destroying all organic material in your path. You know, but nowadays I just ask, well, why do you have that attitude? Well, you know, what's this all about? How did you develop this? Because I want to get some insight into people, and I don't go into it naively. I'm not one of these folks that instantly assume that there is no evil in the world, that there's no angry people in the world, there's no oppositional. I know there's liars and damn liars and, mm-hmm. you know, sons of daddies who lie, you okay. know, whatever you want to call it. And so I'm used to that, too. But I try to have a dialogue with the person. I give them a couple of chances to be reasonable. You know,
yeah.
And if they just continue being mean-spirited, then I recognize, okay, well, this person is all about trying to hurt or damage. And I just say, you know, you don't have any power here. What right. do you, you know? That's not to say that they can't make me mad. They may. But I'll tell them, I say, you know, you're making me angry because you're whole.
I think that's... You're making me
angry because you're being a jerk.
Oh,
you
okay.
know, not because of what you said. You're refusing to be a human being and use the whole brain. You're just using your brain stem. You know, that's what I tell them. I said, that's what makes me angry. And really, more than angry, it makes me sad. And I tell them, so that's if you're seeing a reaction out of me, it's that. It's not because you've called me the N word or the B word or anything else. You know, it's because you're just being a waste of space, a waste of skin. You're not contributing anything positive to the environment. And you know, you just bounce. You leave and. The Queen's English.
Yeah. So definitely, I think one thing a couple of things I gained from what you shared was one, in any encounter with another person is to resist allowing me to resist their type of negativity and mm-hmm. to not allow them to have power over you so that you so that you will not be intimidated, or that you, on the other hand, either go where they're going.
Right. I'm not going to lose my ability to analyze the situation and determine how I want to respond, you know. Because people, they'll reel you in really quickly into the boiling mess of mess.
Yeah. One thing that I think we also need to be aware of and to resist is so much that we hear is that, well, we just have to learn how to be nice to one another. And I think in some sense that stifles meaningful discussion. I think for me, at least, an article I read from Mark Sumner about a month ago in the Daily Cause talk about this, and I'll read it, part of it, and would like your reflection on this. He writes, the media's demand for civility over the last 3 days are not just being unfairly applied in a wholly one-sided manner. Dirty hippies aren't allowed to comment on their betters. They are themselves a dangerous and unreasonable demand that is threatening the nation. It is not just that the major media sources have settled into a routine where Donald Trump insults someone, their first instinct is to repeat that insult, or that they are constantly in search for a comment from the left, which, no matter how it is phrased, can be turned into the focus of some serious nose-lifting-high dungeon. It is not simply that which the right punches, the press plays stenographer, and when the left fights back, they declare fighting out of bounds. It is not even about the incredible spectacle of journalists who have personally been on the receiving end of both spit and thrown bottles while Trump rants about ending political correctness, suddenly chiding the left for refusing to be good little frogs while the water boils. It's that the demand being made for civility isn't about language at all. It is about throwing a ring of protection around the powerful. It is about pretending that people whose actions wreck millions of lives on a whim are cocooned from the consequences of their actions, not just because they have money and connections and resources, but because their powers put them on a different plane. The idea that politics represents some kind of insulating blanket, that someone should be able to take any action in the service of a political office, then stroll out into the street and be treated with a cheery civility, given no consequence to what they have done in their daily job. It's not just foolish, it's dangerous. That's not civility. That's royalty. This isn't some theoretical thing. The arguments here are not about angels on pins or the health of unseen cats. There are children being taken away at the borders who may never see their parents again. And there are parents out there who will absolutely never see their child again because he was gunned down for simply being black. And there are people out there whose lives are purposely being made worse simply because those people who feel they deserve to rule from inside Washington and still go out to demand a good meal from the peasantry, find them handy objects of ridicule. The idea that political statements take place in some privileged space and that pushing back outside the beltway is wrong isn't just sickening, it's surrender. For many of the journalists engaged in this latest round of finger-waving, a large part of the argument is about who they value. They value those people they see, they meet, they talk with every day, those people that they interview and quote are real people, worthy of nice things, even when they don't say nice things. And the people who don't have power, the people whose only appearance on television is as literal face in the crowd, are not. Not valued, not worthy, not real. It's why Sarah Sanders can lie directly to their faces every day and treats them like a class of unruly third graders. And they will still moan in sympathy when Sanders is featured in a punchline. Because jokes hurt, not like the policies that Sanders is promoting that only take food and medicine from those who need it and pump pollution into the air and water to the tune of 80,000 American lives lost. That tendency to place more import on those around you is only human, but the media's tendency to demand it. It is part of protecting the power structure. When senators and congressmen wax lyrical over the magic age of civility pass, even that it is just another way of saying, when we once went to our country clubs together, free of our lessers, and the press coddled us even more. The press would be happier if Americans storming the castle would limit their efforts to the occasional, neatly prescribed march, with colorful signs and a permit. The press is going to continue to be disappointed in us, if we're lucky. So Mark Sumner, in the Daily Cause, reflecting on the discussion of how we are no longer civil to one another.
There is a lot to be said for retooling this whole concept of being politically correct in your speech, of trigger phrases, or what have you. I do believe that there are trigger words that are the type of conversation that's used that will cause people to be distressed, especially once you get enough information into a person's background. And so much of our information we're giving away on these social sites, you know.
Yes.
So that it's not that hard to kind of figure out that somebody might have been been involved in some kind of trauma. I don't yes. want to say victim of, but might be have been involved in trauma and figure out a way to kind of get under their skin and use that past trauma against them. But with regard to being honest in our phrases and our language and what have you, you can speak to a person honestly without trying to trigger them, without using the ludicrous examples of politically correct language to get to the real. And so when I'm dealing with a bigot, for example, yeah. and they call me, you know, that colored woman, or mm-hmm. maybe they say that colored lady, you know, I try to look, or here's a good one, if they call me a Negra.
Yeah.
You know, I try to get at the intention and the root of the conversation. And I'm rapidly playing what I've heard, their body language, their yes. intonation, everything, to try to figure out, okay, where are they going with this? If I'm in doubt, I say, well, where are you going with this? You know,
right.
and then we have a conversation, because I recognize that sometimes people are innocently using or parroting or repeating stuff out of programming. Out of the programming we receive, our social indoctrination, you know, our acculturation or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to find out, are you little eye ignorant and you just don't know that this is not a polite way or a respectful way to talk about it? Or are you big eye ignorant, which means I'm going to do everything I can to punch you in the gut with my language, you know,
right.
to try to lord my perceived superiority over you and get you in a vulnerable position. And if I find out that that's what they're trying to do, then I just tell them, look, you know, you need to back off. Let's not worry about politically correct. My name is Celeste Carey, Miss Carey to you.
Thank you.
You know, and if you really want to continue a conversation where I'm listening to you, then you need to respect me, and this is how I want it. I'm not going to say, well, you can't call me this, 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 and this without finding out if the conversation is even worth going forward and putting those conditions on it. Because maybe that's the kind where you say, well, I guess this conversation is done. Bye.
Bye.
You know, because yes. you can talk, you can give people rules about how you want to be addressed and everything, but if they're not going to give you basic respect, what's the point of trying to get them to follow that?
Nah.
They're not even going to the basics of appreciating you as a human being. What's the point?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, there comes a point where you have to say, you know, that's it. And as you suggested, to move on and to remain in a situation where you are being, in every case imaginable, unfairly attacked.
Yes.
For your integrity and you need to say, no, that's it.
Yeah, bye. You know, if you can't have a conversation. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't some moments where the untying of the tangle is long, you know, but that's still, maybe that's part of a gut feeling, like this conversation is going somewhere. Because I remember being in a conversation at a place in Oregon City, which is where I live now. And there was two young men, and I was being very sociable and, you know, just joking and having conversation with them. And the young white guy and I kind of clicked. The young black guy and I didn't, his friend. And so we were having conversations about things, and he's, you know, we were found ourselves oppositional on a couple of things, you know, like, what if I'd say something, he says, well, I've never this, that, and the other. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at first I looked at him and I thought, let me refrain from assigning anything. So I tried talking to him, and the more I tried talking to him, the more he tried to deny the reality of my experiences as a person of color in this country. And finally, you know, I said, well, is this generational? Oh. And, you know, and he was still trying to argue with me. And I said, no, seriously, what I'm trying to say is you are telling me that you and your parents are quote-unquote Republicans and you've never ever had any discrimination and your parents have done this, that, and the other. I said, I'm wondering, is this generational? And I said, is it that because of where you live and because of what your parents have tried to do to be seen by their character instead of their color, you have benefited from this, and so in some parts of your life, these levels of discrimination are non-existent. And when I kept talking and saying that, it's like I could see this realization dawning on his face. This light going on, or shifting of language and finally getting in sync with each other. And then come to find out that, well, while he hasn't had the same types of discrimination I have, he's had some stuff I haven't had to deal with.
Right.
And all of a sudden, we had that moment of connection.
You found a common ground. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, to me, it was a gut reaction to keep pushing, even though it was not a comfortable situation. But I just felt like there was a seed there that needed to sprout. Now, there's other times, like I said, you get into a conversation and you just say, you know, abort.
Oh, I like that.
Like later for you. No, never.
Never. That's right. Not even later. And so you are listening to KBOO, your community radio station, and we are.
We think we're in action.
So let's go to our very patient caller. Good morning.
Hello.
Hey.
Yes, my name's Bill.
Hi, Bill.
I just tuned in and around a little before 8:30, and I'm not sure if he was reading something or that was his own document, but I'd love to either have the source or a copy of that, what I heard. It was...
Yes, that was...
wonderful.
Yeah, that was... the author was... Oh, God. Come on, computer. Mark Sumner. And that was from the Daily Kos from June 26, 2018.
June 26th.
Yeah, the Daily Kos.
Yeah, and, could you spell that? I'm
been
hard of hearing.
Okay, go to dailykos.com, and the author is Mark Sumner, S-U-M-N-E-R.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. I get the Daily Kos on my email. So
great. Yeah,
I should be able to find it.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That was spectacularly wonderful. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Bill.
All right. So, okay, we got only about 12 minutes. Not even that. But call 503-231-8187. And join in, give us your quick points to live by. I guess that's how I'll say it.
Quick points to live by.
um, But anyway, so that, you know, that's what I, you know, when I try to talk to people, and especially if I meet somebody who's difficult. And the funny thing is like I have to deal with an incredible level of shyness coming out of, you know, dealing and living with Asperger's. So I have to really ramp up the energy to come out of that introverted position. But I really enjoy being around people, and that's my blessing. You know, I'm not misanthropic. I enjoy being around people and exchanging energy and communicating with them. So I can get patient sometimes with some really stupid people.
So all stupid people head towards the last.
Hey, wait a minute. All? Not if you're going to be big eye ignorant, remember?
Oh,
I got conditions.
Fine. Small eye ignorant.
It's okay. Yeah, because I'm small eye ignorant.
Okay. Well, part of it is, well, what do you mean by big eye ignorant? When I hear that term, mm-hmm. One is someone who is full of themselves.
Well, that too. It's just when you refuse. Okay, here's a really good example. If you have heard, for example, something that might be a societal truth or a cultural truth, and you refuse to believe it. Okay, here is one that it goes around a lot, is that no such thing as white privilege.
Oh.
Okay. Even though the most virulent among us are trying hard to reestablish the white supremacy, you know, in this country. They'll say there's no such thing as white privilege. It's like, well, what are you working so hard to recover?
It's that part of mm-hmm. make this country
great again. All of that, okay. You know. And so you refuse to accept that there's a such thing as white privilege, even though that's what you want. That's big eye ignorant.
Oh, that's okay. It finally becomes clear to me. That's what that's about.
I know, you have to laugh at people. It's like, what do you mean there's no such thing as white privilege? Well, I mean, I don't get any extra points for being a white man. Now, bear in mind, I had a colleague here, and I miss him dearly. He passed this year, who for a while told me I don't have white privilege, you know. And he says, well, I'm a tatted up European punk, you know. And I said, yeah, but if we go into a place together, I get sidelined, I get side-eyed, I get followed. I said, you do. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying that on the level of whiteness, you get more white points than I do. I don't get any, not even for speaking the Queen's English, you know, because you're a male and you're white. And on top of that, you're blonde. And, you know, and even here in Portland, you get more points because there is an acculturation toward male superiority, and especially white male superiority.
Yes.
So if you pretend like this doesn't exist, I'll take you someplace where you can have men who look just like you telling you what you should be doing and how you should be acting and what you have lost, and telling you what your relationship should be to me, which is I should be subservient. And if that doesn't help you understand that there are people who recognize that there really is a privilege to being a white male, then you're being obstinate and big-eye ignorant.
Uh-huh. There's that big-eye ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
So we should have a glossary, a picture book.
Hey, yeah, maybe we should do that on More Talk Radio, have our glossary. Yeah, comms most terminately used. There I am again.
Oh.
Well, I'm dyslexic too. Hey, you know, called a spoonerism. I do those. Mm-hmm. Terms most commonly used.
Terms most commonly used.
Yeah, there we go. So anyway, we want to thank everybody for having patience with community radio.
Yeah, and, you know, one of the marvelous things about community radio is mm-hmm. it is community radio.
Yeah.
So we all are, you know, 95% of us are volunteers. We
yes.
come in here
For the love of community.
For the love of community, and we work our butt off just to try to make good radio. Sometimes it goes very, very well.
Oh, yeah, and we win awards.
And then there are times like early this morning when we just could not.
I was chuckling because I could hear you. And yeah, are we on yet? Yes, because I'm listening to the egg signal and wondering why we haven't caught up. But we want to give shout outs to Crystal.
Thank for you, Crystal.
Engineering. And know that she's been engineering on days when it's perfect.
Yes. Yes, Crystal. So thank you.
Yes. And anything more you want to offer?
Well, I just hope people for people here in the Pacific Northwest, try to remain cool in the days ahead. For those of you who do not have a place to go, that there are places around where you might remain cool, public places, libraries, malls, cooling centers throughout the region. Take care of yourself and take care of one another, and thank you, Celeste, for reminding us that many of us are all ignorant. But the challenge is to be small eye ignorant rather than big eye ignorant.
Yeah, don't be totally resistant to the possibility that you're wrong and your perspective is not aligned with the well-being of the world and others. Mm-hmm. You know, be satisfied with the fact that one of the places of your being is to help serve humanity. If you help serve humanity with the idea of putting people first, there's somebody else who has put you first, you know. And
yes.
But don't be naive. And like I said, if you feel like it's a lost cause, you know, leave, but leave politely. Well,
leave
it's time
politely.
To go. Goodbye. You don't even have to say, this has been fun, unless it has really been. You just say, oh, well, I think this conversation is over. Goodbye.
Thank you. It's time for me to leave.
It's time for me to leave. Well, it's time for us to leave, but you don't have to go.
Don't go, because coming up is the Omo Variety Hour.
Yes, and you'll get a chance to burrow down to the roots of great issues of our time. 10 o'clock, Locus Focus. Barbara Bernstein talks to author of Fallout, Disaster Lies and the Legacy of the Nuclear Age. At 11, Making Contact investigates Trump's travel and refugee ban, and that includes ways to fight it. Voices for the Animals at 11:30, and all these programs are made possible by KBOO members like you. To become a member is easy. Just go to kboo.fm and click on donate, or come down to 20 Southeast 8th Portland, Oregon 97214 and make your donation. Thank you very much.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meetings policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. The Finance Committee meets the fourth Monday of every month at 4:30 p.m.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the second annual International Self-Care Day celebration on Tuesday, July 24th from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at Pela in Portland. International Self-Care Day is observed to remember that the benefits of self-care are lifelong and can be experienced 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Three local women authors, Javelin Hardy, Cinda Stevens Longsway, and Angel Charmaine, will share their unique experiences of trauma turned into empowerment. Again, that's the second annual International Self-Care Day celebration on Tuesday, July 24th, from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at Pela on the third floor of the Lloyd Center Mall in Northeast Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
I wish I was a mole in the ground. If I was a mole in the ground, I'd root that mountain down. And I wish I was a mole in the ground.
Good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. This is listener-supported community radio. It is time now for the Old Mole Variety Hour. I'm Denise Morris, your host for this July 23rd Monday. Patricia Kohlberg is our engineer. KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO listener members and support from Portland Underground Graduate School, a local, independent learning community offering courses and workshops for continuing lifelong learning. Scholarships and other tuition opportunities are available. Course options and more information online at pugspdx.com. Well, this